collaboration is everywhere. We have it in business, in government, within companies, and between companies. You know, we're going to have Fiat and Chrysler now hooking up, and they need to collaborate to make that work. And in government, we have it across agencies and bureaus and so on. So it's everywhere. And this book is really about how to do it well as opposed to do more of it.
And what are the challenges in it? I mean, it seems like as long as I've been covering the government market, everyone's saying we need to collaborate more. Why does this end up being something that's so difficult?
Well, I think we have a couple of wrong theories about collaboration. I mean, one is more is better. And what I found in my research is that more is not better. In fact, it can be worse. So collaboration is very much about being very rigorous about where to do it, when not to do it.
Right.
And being disciplined about creating relationships between people. And what I see very often is that companies collaborate on the wrong things, and they are not very scrutinizing the projects. And in government, we have barriers to collaboration. We have motivational barriers. People don't want to do it, or they can't do it. For example, they have a search barrier. They cannot find information that they are looking for, and that creates tremendous barriers.
How can more collaboration actually make something worse?
Well, that's very interesting. And I, in my research, I was not looking for that. And in fact, that's what I found. And I couldn't understand why that would be the case. And then when I looked more deeply, I found that indeed it is the case. And there are a couple of reasons. One is that people collaborate on wrong things. So you have a top management will say, hey, teamwork, collaboration, breaking down silos, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens? Well, employees say, well, that's a good thing, so I'm going to go out and do it. And what happens, of course, is that they book meetings, they book trips, and those are not always leading to results. So you spend a lot of time in the wrong meetings and working on things of marginal value, and that really undermines performance.
So do you measure the value of collaboration based on the results from collaborating?
Yes. I mean, one insight in my book, I think, is the goal of collaboration is not collaboration. It is results. And we must never forget that. So that means, well, if you shouldn't be doing it, if it doesn't lead to good upside, let's not do it.
And sort of the mantra for technology long has been, we don't do technology just for technology's sake. That sort of applies to collaboration. We're not just doing collaboration for collaboration's sake.
Absolutely. You got to figure out when to do it and when not to do it. I mean, as I like to say, is to master collaboration is to know when not to do it. Of course, there is upside. You know, many times you have to do it. You have no choice. Many times we would like to see more of it or better collaboration. I mean, for example, I wish sitting out in California and looking at Washington, I wish there were more collaboration between the various parties and agencies, between the Obama administration and between the Republicans. There seems to be less of it, not more of it. And maybe we need some more meaningful collaboration.
You talk in here about cultivating a T-shaped management. What does that mean?
Well, T-shaped, so one of the things with collaboration you want to avoid is that people collaborate for its own sake. And what happens is that people then are off on the road all the time and they are not producing results. So T-shaped management is the vertical part of the T is to focus on your own job, your own performance, and make sure you do that. And the horizontal bar of the T is really to work across the organization, to work with others. So it's about working on your own objectives and working for the whole. And it's the balance of the two that you want. You don't want collaboration to overtake the individual focus. You need the balance. And that's why we call it T-shaped management.
When you talked about collaboration not being for collaboration's sake, but you have to have some results, does that leave room for making mistakes? I mean, you won't know if the collaboration has results, if there's a payoff, until you do it.
Yes, you may not know it ahead of time, but at least you can ask some hard questions. Is this a project we should undertake? Does it have real value? We need to factor in the fact that we are working across boundaries, which is probably more difficult. We might have some conflict because we work for
different
organizations.
Is it core to our mission? Is this a core part of what
Absolutely.
We do?
Absolutely. Is it something that we ought to be doing? And asking those hard questions before rather than after. But it's true with any project you undertake. Sometimes you don't know the outcome before afterwards, but at least ask the hard questions up front.
There's sort of this notion out there that with all these Web 2.0 tools, that collaboration has become much easier. And at least my sense is that there is probably a lot more of collaboration, a lot more collaboration going on, but that not all of it is ending up as necessarily results yet. Give me your sense as a person who's written about collaboration, you've written the book on it. How do you look at these tools which now are building networks out there?
So just because the tools are there doesn't mean that we should use them or use a lot of them. We're going to ask the same question. When do these tools produce the value? And having said that, some of these tools can be really, really helpful. It depends on the reasons, the barriers we're trying to break down. So some barriers have to do with motivational barriers. People don't want to collaborate. Well, giving them a Facebook or giving them a video conferencing system is not going to help them much because right. They don't want to do it.
They're probably going to resist just using a tool that enhances collaboration because they don't want to do it.
Absolutely. So it's not going to help there. Now, if it's a problem of finding some good information in your organization, connecting up with somebody, then some of these tools might help you search better. And that's a good thing. If the problem is that you can't really walk across geographical boundaries, you're sitting in an office in Washington and there are colleagues sitting in San Francisco, but a video conference system can really be good. But first you need to solve the motivational barriers, and that's much more to do with incentive systems, that you hold people accountable for both their own work and working across the organization. Once you fix that, the tools can be good.
Bottom line, what made you decide to do an entire book, all your research based on collaboration? What inspired you there?
Because when I look at business, nonprofit, and government, collaboration and collaborative leadership is so important. We can get it wrong, and that will undermine performance. We won't get the results. We won't get the policies that we want. And collaboration, therefore, becomes a difficult management topic to master. And I didn't see anything out there that said, what's the difference between good and bad collaboration? There were things out there saying we should have more of it. So I decided to do research to figure out what's the difference between good and bad, and help people guide them in making that choice.
In your research, did you find a particular example, something that people might, you know, and where you could really say, okay, this is how it should, the model of collaboration?
Yeah, I think in the research and in the model, it's what I call disciplined collaboration that kind of sums it all up. Be disciplined about the projects you undertake. Be disciplined about finding the barriers that are in your way and tear them down. And they're different for different organizations. So you got to be...
But and in here, you talk about the four barriers to collaboration. What are some of the... I mean, it seems like one of them is just institutional. We don't like it.
One is motivational, hoarding, and not invented here, that engineers like to talk about.
Right.
Anything that comes from the outside can't be as good as what we do on the inside. So why should we listen to somebody
from the
outside?
If we didn't do it, it ain't right.
And hoarding means I don't want to share. I don't want to share what I know. So what you got going there is both. And they can undermine performance. I mean, if we take Sony, the large corporation that tried to launch a counterattack against the iPod,
right,
with their Sony Connect, they couldn't get their divisions to work together toward that product. And the reason was hoarding. People did not want to share what they knew, so they couldn't put together a compelling offering.